The smudge on the glass of his office door wasn't from a hand. It was from the side of my face, pressed there while he reminded me that my visa sponsorship wasn't a right but a gift. In Paris, they tell you that the corporate ladder is made of steel and ambition. But in this room, on the 34th floor, it was made of skin and silence. I didn't look at the city lights. I looked at the way the fluorescent hum of the hallway seemed to mocking my stillness. He didn't want my spreadsheets. He didn't care that I had optimized the logistics chain for the entire European sector in under 6 months. He wanted to see if my loyalty could be felt, if it had a weight he could measure with his hands. I let him measure it, because the alternative was a one-way ticket back to a life I had burned to the ground to get here. The first time it happened, it wasn't a grand gesture of villainy. It was a Tuesday. It was 6:14 p.m. The cleaning crews were moving like ghosts through the cubicles, and the rest of the executive suite had cleared out for drinks at the bistro downstairs. He stayed. He always stayed. He called me in, not to discuss the Q3 projections, but to ask if I understood the physicality of trust. That was his term. He spoke it with a softness that made my skin crawl. A delicate French inflection that turned a threat into a philosophy. He told me that results are for the shareholders. But loyalty, true, unbreakable loyalty, is reserved for the architect. And he was the architect of my career. He sat behind that desk, his suit jacket off, sleeves rolled up to reveal forearms that looked far too strong for a man who spent his life signing papers. He didn't move toward me. He waited for me to move toward him. That was the game. If he forced it, it was a crime. If I walked across that carpet, it was an agreement. I walked. Every step felt like I was wading through wet concrete. I watched my own hand reach out, a traitor to my mind, and I realized then that my ambition wasn't a flame, it was a leash. The isolation began the moment I hesitated a week later. I tried to stay in my office, door locked, buried in the data of the Lyon merger. By 9 a.m. the next morning, I was a ghost. My access codes to the internal server were temporarily suspended. My name was left off the email chain for the board presentation. When I walked into the break room, the air didn't just turn cold, it vanished. People I had mentored, people I had shared coffee with for a year, looked through me as if I were a glitch in the architecture. It wasn't that they knew what was happening behind the closed door. It was that they knew what happened when that door stayed open. The culture of the firm wasn't built on excellence. It was built on the shared, unspoken understanding that the boss had a price, and we were all just currency. By Thursday, the silence was screaming. I found myself standing outside his office again, my pulse a frantic, rhythmic drumming in my ears. I knew that if I entered, the glitch would be fixed. My codes would work. My colleagues would see me again. The physicality of trust was the only currency accepted at this level of the game. I felt a surge of cold, sharp loathing. Not just for him, but for the version of me that was already reaching for the handle. I wasn't a victim. I was an investor. I was paying the highest possible price for a seat at a table that was already rotting. I stepped inside. The click of the lock behind me was the loudest sound I've ever heard. He didn't even look up from his tablet. He just pointed to the space beside him, a silent command to fulfill the contract. As I moved, I realized I wasn't just losing my dignity. I was refining my edge. If loyalty was physical, then I would make sure my eventual betrayal was surgical. He thought he was consuming me, but I was just learning the exact dimensions of his weakness. Every touch was a data point. Every silent hour in that office was a brick in the wall I was building around his throat. He wanted a physical manifestation of my loyalty? Fine. I would give it to him until the very second I decided to tear his empire down from the inside out. Careers and consequences don't just collide, they merge. And in this office, I was becoming the most dangerous consequence he ever invited behind closed doors.